So, hey everybody. Happy Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday one day later. You know, we've used Here Comes the Sun by Nina Simone as our theme song, and I guess it's been 8 years now, and I wonder why I just love that song so much. And one, of course, is because I'm an organizer, I'm a revolutionary, and we're optimists. And we believe that every day the sun comes up. Thank God. If we don't get ourselves organizing, maybe someday we won't be able to see it. But every day is a new day. Every day is a chance for struggle, a day for hope. Wake up in the morning, do something good, fight the enemy. It's good for yourself and it's good for society. So thank you, Nina. Every time I start the show, it actually raises my morale listening to you. So hey, everybody. Today, we're going to have you calling in at 818-985-5735. Today, we're going to talk about Richard Sherman, a black cornerback in the National Football League. And there's been a big brouhaha about it, which I'll explain. And the title of my commentary is The National Hypocrisy League, The Attacks on Richard Sherman on Dr. King's Birthday. I'm very happy to say that my friend Peter Gamble, the publisher of Black Commentator, already told me that he's going to run this article this Thursday on Black Commentator, which is very wonderful, Peter. Just thank you so much. And also because of the work of Julian Lamb, it's going to be up on our own site, Voices from the Frontlines, www.voicesfromfrontlines.com by Thursday, as it always is. So I'm going to be reading you this commentary. It's called The National Hypocrisy League, The Attacks on Richard Sherman on King's Birthday. Now, if you know something about football, about sports, about the hypocrisy of capitalism, thoughts about society, we want you to call in at 818-985-5735, hopefully responding to my commentary, which is the point. If you know who Richard Sherman is, if you're involved in this struggle already, get on the phone and get ready to be profound. As I'm reading this commentary, please go on the site, www.frontlines.com, register and make sure you're getting our weekly emails, and you'll be probably getting two in the future. And then secondly, for those of you who know about the Richard Sherman story, which I'm about to get to, please start calling in now, 818-985-5735, but of course listen to my commentary, otherwise you won't know what to talk about. Okay, once again, the National Hypocrisy League, the attacks on Richard Sherman on Dr. King's birthday. During the 1960s and the Civil Rights Movement, we had a joke that reflected the cruel realities of what we called white racist America, also white racist America with a K, and for others, white racist America with three Ks, KKK. As you can see, white racist America with a C was the moderate position. Now, the joke was, what do they call a black PhD in Mississippi? And the sad answer was the N-word. Today, in the age of post-racialism, the new quote joke would be, what do they call the best cornerback in pro football, that is cornerback, not quarterback, who grew up in Compton, graduated from Stanford? Sadly, the same answer, although uppity, would be added. Richard Sherman is one of the finest cornerbacks in pro football. Bright, funny, brilliant, and oh yeah, black. Okay, Richard, you say you're the best. Maybe you are. But everyone agrees you're in the top three. But actually, in my view, your physicality, intelligence, and creativity, and willingness to take up the center stage makes you the best in my book, and of course, in your book as well. Oh yeah, on the biggest stage in the world. Last Sunday, the San Francisco 49ers versus Seattle Seahawks. The score was 23-17. Seahawks, with less than 45 seconds left in the game, are ahead. Colin Kaepernick, the brilliant San Francisco quarterback, had rallied the team inside the 20-yard line. If San Francisco scores a touchdown and an extra point, they win the game 24-23. So Kaepernick throws the ball into the end zone to wide receiver Eric Crabtree, one of the finest players in the game, who coach Jim Harbaugh, never short on hyperbole, says has the greatest hands in the history of all football. In the amazing split second, win or lose by inches, that make the game great, the ball is thrown well. A very catchable ball for Crabtree. But out of nowhere comes Richard Sherman, the cornerback assigned to cover Crabtree. Four hands go up in the air to catch the ball. For a split second, it's in Crabtree's sight. But Sherman jumps higher, tips the ball away from Crabtree, into the hands of a teammate, Malcolm Smith, for the clinching interception. The championship game is won, and the Seattle Seahawks are on their way to the Super Bowl. Afterwards, as the press says, the all-pro cornerback jumped into the stands behind the end zone, saluting the Seahawks' raucous fans. That is to say, the game was played in Seattle. Great story, right? The all-pro cornerback, Richard Sherman, salutes Seattle's mostly white raucous fans. You know these raucous white folks, all drunk and drugged up, the loudest, most obnoxious fans in the world, the 12th man that shouts so loud they try to break earthquake records and are measured in decibels. So Sherman excitedly marches off in victory, and sideline reporter Aaron Andrews corners him, as they always do for the usual post-game crap. 818-985-5735, please line up to comment. A winded star says, I want to thank all my teammates, the coach, God, it was a great team effort, our opponent was great, glory to God, America, capitalism, our sponsors, my mother, and did I say our sponsors? That's the normal. After which the reporter, knowing the athletes can't think, feeds them the new stupid as hell questions. Did you think this was a big play? How do you feel about winning? Tell me about what it means to win. Or even, it must be a big thing for the whole team to rise up as one. After which the athlete only has to say, I completely agree, and runs off the field. There you have it, Jack and Troy, back to you in the booth. But before Aaron Andrews could open up a cliche book, Sherman explained, well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me. Aaron Andrews, who was talking about you? Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best, or I'm going to shut it for you real quick. L.O.B. L.O.B. means the Legion of Boom, describing the Seattle secondary, the very best in the league. Then Fox TV, the guardians of white America, cut away from Sherman, leaving Aaron Andrews and Sherman muted. Pretty funny. 818-985-5735. Oh my God, what did that black man say? Did he say something about Crabtree's mother? Did he say, I plan to cut out your guts and eat them for breakfast? That is, in fact, the usual back and forth. And what do you think Crabtree was saying to him during the game? Oh, Richard, you exaggerate out of your uncontrolled passion. Trust me, folks, Crabtree had a few words of his own. Crabtree and Sherman had been throwing comments at each other the whole game. Folks, this is called trash talk, and it's not pretty. That's the point. In basketball and football, the athletes say the most outrageous, infuriating things to each other to get under each other's skin, to throw off their game. See Kevin Garnett's Honey Nut Cheerios blast to Carmelo Anthony. But this was after the game, and it was in fact about as raucous as, I think I outperformed that gentleman and bettered him in the most competitive endeavors if Sherman was cornerback for the Downton Abbey Downers. I won't go through all the racist nonsense. The worst, of course, is which refers to any black man with a hoodie, an attitude, or an ounce of self-respect. Then there is, he is hurting his image. But then there are those who defend him. Well, remember, he went to Stanford, as if that matters. But the point is, this is just ridiculous and reflects the absurdity of the National Hypocrisy League. This is one of the most brutal businesses in the world. Tremendous athletes, gifted beyond belief, run at full speed against each other, push, shove, and throw each other down. A tackle means that one man running 100 miles an hour carrying the ball is attacked by another man or players also running at 100 miles an hour smashing into each other. I think in physics I learned that, like car crashes. When two forces hit each other, the impact is geometrically more jarring than the sum of each speed. For years, the NFL and its mouthpieces like John Madden would do commentary, color commentary on football games by saying, whack, boom, crash, Jones just clocked Smith and knocked his helmet off. I can hear the bam from here. And we're all thrilled at the mono-a-mono gladiators. Now, in this case, the gladiators are of all races, but the vast majority are black. So it's black against black violence, in which all the participants are paid very well, and the white owners laugh all the way to the bank. So now the National Football League, after denying that two men smashing each other's heads in caused concussions, like the cigarette companies deny tobacco causes cancer, and deny that the concussions have led to crippling dementia for hundreds of players, has, faced with a multi-billion-dollar lawsuit settled on the cheap, hustled the players and their lawyers, and is now talking about the dangers of concussions to head off the concussions or more importantly, to head off more lawsuits. Okay, so what is my profound insight on this? Sherman is a very smart man. He understands football as a business, and while he was before the game one of the biggest charismatic characters in the game, he is now larger than life. But Richard Sherman, here is the challenge. On Dr. King's day, read about Muhammad Ali and other black athletes who turned their anger into a challenge to the racism of the system. Richard Sherman, speak out about the mass incarceration of 1 million black people and 500,000 Latinos among the 2.5 million prisoners who must be free. Richard Sherman, read about immigrant rights and open borders. Join our fight for the soul of the cities. www.fightforthesoulofthecities.com. Speak out against the U.S. military, against the commercialization of every life, of the way the NFL uses black athletes and all athletes in a public spectacle. Otherwise, your anger and courage will just lead you to hawking Subway sandwiches, Under Armour, or even armor, as the military-industrial complex tries to co-opt you. Fight for the needs of Compton, Richard, not capitalism. 818-985-5735. Second, don't think Peyton Manning and the Broncos are not worried. Manning is amazing. I still can't decide if he or Tom Brady are the best in the last few decades, but they're up there in the stratosphere. Manning has nerves of steel and a brilliant mind. But football is a game of psyche. And while the Broncos, with the greatest set of receivers in the league, Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, Eric Decker, and Wes Welker, will give Seattle their greatest challenge ever, the Legion of Boom thrive on the head games. And in my view, Richard Sherman's calculated rant gives them a slight edge in the mind-deft world of pro football head games. Third, Jim Harbaugh, the coach of the San Francisco 49ers, is a rabid dog. The real out-of-control animal, whose vindictive and racist evaluation of Richard Sherman, who played for him at Stanford, sabotaged his career and cost Sherman many millions of dollars. Sherman was a wide receiver for Stanford, out of Compton High, where he was second in his class academically. He injured himself playing football and made the transition to defensive back. When the NFL draft came up, pro coaches called Harbaugh for his evaluation of Sherman. Almost every college coach talks up his players as they go pro, to increase their status in the draft, to get them more money for turning pro, and to build up the reputation of the college program for future recruits who want to turn pro after college. Instead, Harbaugh, whose facial expressions during the game give a rat a bad name, badmouthed Sherman to the pros, and Sherman was drafted in the fifth round of the draft by Seattle. The fifth round! The best cornerback in the NFL. If the draft was held today, with hindsight, Sherman would have been drafted in the first round. Not only that, in the top five players in the first round. Where the hell were my Jets in this? How did every pro team pass on Sherman four times and some five? So fitting irony, Sherman defeats the 49ers, wins the game for the Seahawks, and gets his old college coach from Stanford, who is now coaching the 49er, gets Harbaugh to eat crow. So Sherman's contract is very low in dollars compared to what he could have gotten. But he'll make it up with endorsements in his next contract for sure. Now, Richard Sherman, consider giving money to social movements, not just social work. Go beyond the limits of charity and embrace the essential role of revolutionary change. Dr. King, Malcolm X, and Muhammad Ali would require that of you. And finally, while I like Denver and would have rooted against the Seahawks, I'm switching side in the war and hope Seattle wins. Richard Sherman won me over to his team. This is Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Frontlines. I haven't looked at the phones, but I hope I have some sports fans, some race fans, and just some political fans. Let's see what we got. Do we have Roscoe? Can we get Roscoe on the line, please? 818-985.
How are you feeling?
Hey, good to hear from you.
Hey, I saw that play, and only three people could have made that play. There's a guy named, I don't know how old you are, his name is Darryl Green. He could have done it. And then another guy named Deion Sanders. He could have done it. But other than those two guys, nobody else could have made that play. No one could have made that play. That was one of the most exceptional plays ever. I mean, and particularly when you consider the moment, the conditions, and you're absolutely right. Kaepernick threw a beautiful pass. Crabtree was in the perfect position. There was absolutely no way physically possible for that man to take his body and do what he did with it, what he did, and we were all looking at it. I couldn't believe it. And in terms of his spirit, that he displayed after the game. I'm going to have to give him a pass on that. I think people are just trying to put some gasoline on a little bitty mattress. Most of those guys are quite spirited. They're very excited. I don't think he was any more a poor example of being an adult than some of those folks sitting in the stands there.
Right.
So I'm excited for Seattle, and I wish him the best. And another comment I'd like to make to you, sir, there's a lot of things that are going on where corporate media doesn't give them the coverage. If you're not doing something that supports the mainstream image, you're just not going to get that attention. And I wanted to share something with you.
Sure.
Act as if you were my professor, and I'm a student, and I'm submitting to you a term paper. And this is a term paper regarding Occupied. And you've heard of Occupied.
Of course.
But this one's called Occupied West Virginia. And what we do is a couple of the boys or a few of the boys go on Twitter or they go on Facebook and they let it be known that we're all going to get together down in West Virginia for just a say hi kind of a day. Now, when you've got 15,000 of us down in West Virginia, on Wednesday morning, we're going to surround the Capitol.
And hold on, brother. You got to move this a little bit because we're going to stay with Richard Sherman, but tie it up.
Our primary objective here is to get $1 million for each of the 300,000 people who did not have water in those nine counties. Also to reimburse those people who work for the state of West Virginia who got their pensions cut. And also to get those people who lived in the state of West Virginia but did not work for the state and lost pension money to help them get their money, because now there's going to be new legislation that will allow the attorney general to go after these folks.
My brother, I'm going to have to let you end the story here, okay? I really appreciate it. I thought your description of the ball in the air was beautiful. Your voice is great. Let's come and have you back on the show again, and let's get to our next listener, okay? Thank you so much for being on Voices. Okay, Robert. 818-985-5735, football fans, civil rights fans. And because we have going to the phones for another 35 minutes, if you have thoughts about Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement, you're welcome to be on the show as well. 818-985-5735. Who is our next caller?
Robert.
Hello, Robert. What's on your mind?
I'm really happy that you're covering this story and the fact that you're in support of Sherman, because a lot of media outlets they're bashing this guy. He's out of Compton, California, which is probably some of the toughest streets in America. He goes to Stanford, top of his class, graduates with like a 4.0 or something like that. One of the greatest athletes in America, right? He's all pro. And then he goes, he gets excited after this big play, and then there's a bunch of different media outlets that are scrutinizing him, basically taking him as a thug or, you know, the basic stereotype, you know, this black guy, he's calling somebody out on national television, and so people draw up all kind of assumptions and things like that. But I think that he should do more as far as being more vocal about representing the black community, because he, in this particular circumstance, became a victim of the media and the scrutiny of different media sources.
No, I think that's really good. You know, one of the things that's funny is actually, Sherman's actually got a lot of support. I mean, sometimes, you know, the media is just totally one way. But Sherman's got a lot of things going for him, right? And you stay on the line for a minute. One, of course, is he won, right? So America loves winners. And as the past caller said, for those of you who know football, you know how they do it in freeze frame sometime in the film where you go in slow motion, the ball is a perfect spiral, and there's Crabtree, and there's Sherman, and the ball is up, and all four hands are going up, and right at the minute that it's about to go into Crabtree's hands, Richard Sherman's hand comes up and hits the ball and tips it away and tips it to his other player. As the other brother said, one of the truly great, and with 37 seconds left in the game, meaning if Crabtree catches the ball, San Francisco wins. If Crabtree doesn't catch the ball, Seattle wins. So one is that. The second thing that cut Sherman some slack is he went to Stanford. And it's really funny because, you know, Chris Rock did the thing about talking about how white people talked about Colin Powell. They go, he speaks so well.
Right.
He speaks so well.
Very educated people, yeah.
Right?
You interview a Sherman on TV or something like that, and he's very well spoken and but you saw the hood side of them come out after that game.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So
Compton came out.
You know, Compton trumped, so Compton trumped, trumped Stanford. And so they're defending him sort of because he went to Stanford. And, the third thing is that everybody knows that this trash talk goes on, you know. So even Crabtree said a funny thing. Crabtree said, well, go to the tape. Go to the tape. Well, I don't know why Crabtree said that, because the tape is all good about Crabtree not getting the ball. So do you have any last thoughts? It's 818-985-5735. Any last thoughts before we say goodbye?
No, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Very nice call. So who's our next caller? 818-985-5735. Football, racism, capitalism, Dr. King. Love to hear what's on your mind today. 818-985-5735. Robert. Robert, are you on the air? Bill? Like to hear Bill? 818-985-5735.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
I certainly don't want to offend anybody, because the players who are being used and made spectacle of are exploited. And is it, how this is ingrained in the culture and how it's taken over and invaded academia at every level. This bizarre spectacle, the corruption and the organized crime that just rakes in mass profits off a public public venue. And this is a good example of American exceptionalism. How this bizarre spectacle can just be just like put people into a trance where they just lose all common sense, and it really, I mean, look at it. It's just a goofy, obsolete game all those folks that depend on it for a living, to make a living, it's another form of exploitation sorry.
That's okay.
We got X Games, we got motocross, we got, you know, Hawaiian Ironman triathlon and real athletics and, you know, it's...
All right, brother.
Okay,
sure. Thank you very much for calling. And hold on. Let's take a little break. And come on, we need some callers, folks. 818-985-5735. We got to have more sports fans who know what's going on out there. Come on. Okay, folks. So there's been a billion Twitters about Richard Sherman and sports. And I'm hoping we got enough political sports fans out there to keep this show going. But let's start with one of the leading experts in sports in Los Angeles, Crystal McMillan. Could I hear your opinions, please?
I'm calling as a pure football fan, and I gotta admit, I was a little conflicted because I went to school in San Francisco. I was rooting for San Francisco to win the game. That play was amazing. It was phenomenal. It was one of those kind of plays that they'll be showing 20 years from now. That being said, Crabtree and Sherman were pushing at each other the whole game. You can't tell what they were saying, but you could always see that they were having conflict the whole game. So when he came out after the game and made this comment, it wasn't surprising, and I gotta say, it wasn't even that bad comparatively to what he could have said. He said, I'm the best, and you can't put some mediocre guy against me. I'm waiting for the world to end because he's proud of what he did. If he wasn't a black guy, if he wasn't a black guy from Compton, would anybody have even noticed that tape? And that's what I got a question. And saying he went to Stanford, what has that got to do with anything? So that was my reaction as a football fan, was the fact that he was being punished for being proud of what he'd done because he was a black man.
Well, I think what's funny, Crystal, is I don't really think he's being punished. You know what I mean? I think he's being controversied. And I think that things are much better now in a certain way because, you know, he's winning the battle of these ideas. The reason why it's funny is because there is a controversy. You know, Boomer Esiason, who's a real pompous jerk, is saying, I wouldn't have handled it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, see if you can get Tanya on the line to call in and read some of the tweets, because I didn't bring them. And there's some really funny tweets going back and forth. But my point in this is sort of like, everything is racialized. You know what I mean? So even when the best football player makes the best play and says, as you said, what a weak thing he said. It's not like he said anything terrible. These guys have said worse stuff in the world. And the only reason it's a story is because the crackers are going crazy. And that, of course, I think Sherman is having a great time with this. That's my point. I think he's enjoying the controversy. It's building up his brand. And in this case, there's one thing, Tony Maselli, both Selly are really great white Italian linemen said, you know, retired. I'd have Richard Sherman on my team anytime. So what I'm getting to is we have a million people in prison. We got a million black people in prison. We got mass poverty. But the reason why this is interesting is because I'm thinking, Crystal, that this is sort of the arena that the society is allowing us to talk about race. You know what I mean? It's not allowing us to talk about race about prisons or about buses or about poverty, but it's allowing us to talk about race about black football players.
Petition called for the hanging of President Obama. But nowhere in that article did they point out the fact that he was a black man calling for a black man, another black man to be lynched.
Who said that?
Yeah.
Who said that?
Let me get his name. He's a Republican running for office in Florida. And he's actually called for he said he should be tried for treason and they should hang him high, was the quote.
Well, all right, Crystal, thank you very much for calling. 818-985-5735. We can do stream of consciousness here, folks, today. It's the day after King's birthday. We're going to talk about Richard Sherman, if you'd like to, about football, about the racial nature of society. And so who do we got next? We have John and then Gary. John?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
I'd just like to state that it's outrageous. The focus of Sherman's commentary is because it becomes individualized versus the team, and that's what Coach Pete Carroll made clear. I am a longtime football fan, played college football at a little school in Michigan for 4 years. I coached and taught high school football. I taught 1 year at 59th in Vermont at John Muir Middle School in South Central. God bless, this guy is a beautiful talent and a beautiful athlete, but he should be scrutinized for making the focus on himself versus the team. That's the issue. And I certainly would not beg to differ about the idea that this country is as oppressive as any in the world. Lord knows we oppress our colored people and others. And again, God bless the guy, but the issue is the culture has become about me and a $1 million man, not the team. So that's my commentary, and I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Sure, and I think what you're right. I mean, I think that these teams, which are really good teams, are also about self-promotion. They are about every football player, you have to understand, has an agent. Every football player has a very, very short career. Just to take a parenthesis here, the issue of injuries. It's sort of shocking to me. I think it's Tariq Ali is his name, who was the cornerback for the New England Patriots. He went out in the first quarter last game, and then he went out in the first quarter a year ago. Sometimes, right in the middle of these championship games, 3, 4, and 5 players are going out with injuries that are going to not bring them back, even if they made the Super Bowl in the next 2 weeks. So I've been watching this year, and I've just even been more struck by how the force, the size of these players, the rapidity with which they hit each other, as people were saying. I mean, we now have 6, like you look at Antonio Gates from the San Diego Chargers, 6'4", 260 pounds, runs like a deer, hits like a tank, and these guys are running at full speed, and then they get hurt. And in the NFL contracts, unlike baseball and basketball, the money's not guaranteed. So if you sign a contract, let's say you have a contract for so-called 7 years, $120 million, what they don't tell you is that only the first 3 years are guaranteed, and that's why the players are fighting more and more for what they call the upfront money. But my point is, what you were saying is, yes, these people do have team spirit, but this is a business based on the fact that people are cut, meaning they're, you know, if they don't produce, they're kicked out. People have to play hurt. People have to play injured. People are still playing with enormous painkillers, steroids, anything to get through the game. So my point is, agreeing with you, is the myth of team. You know, they say there's no I in team, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is these are professional football players in a very ruthless league run by white owners, and run by the TV networks, because the football teams make enormous money off the TV contract. So even if, oh, it's interesting. The football players have, the football owners have socialism. I don't know if you knew that. Football owners have figured out a thing called revenue sharing, which is when the National Football League gets a contract, they divide up a lot of the money evenly, even though some of these other teams are terrible. Why? Because that means that the owners are going to make money even if their team is terrible. So the point you made about wouldn't it be better if he didn't pay attention to himself, you got to listen to the interviews after every game. Every game some guy is being brought out. Every game he says, yeah, I believe in the team. But his agent is saying, make sure you get your face in front of the camera. Make sure that you get your face interviewed. And sometimes say something controversial to even get yourself more face time. So it's not a morality play. It's to me, it's a pretty complicated story. You know what I mean? Richard Sherman is not heavily oppressed. He's making tons of money. He's a great athlete. What's interesting to me is the racialization of it, but there's a way in which he's sort of laughing at the system as well. Okay, our next caller is Bob. Bob, tell me about football, Richard Sherman, racism, and whatever else is on your mind. You're on Voices from the Frontlines. This is Eric Mann, KPFK, 90.7 FM, streaming live on the web. And listen, take a minute, folks. Please go on our website, www.voicesfromfrontlines.com. Tanya Bernard is sitting there. She's having an anxiety attack. She's worried that you're not going to send in. At the end of the day, I want to say, Tanya, how many people registered on our site? So for Tanya, please do it for her and me. Now, brother, what do you have to say?
Well, I don't want to burst too many people's bubbles, but technically speaking, it wasn't a great football play because there weren't four hands, there were three. He reached up with his long arm because he's 6'5". Darryl Green couldn't have done it because he was only 5'10", despite what the first guy said. And he batted the ball up in the air where if an offensive player would have caught it, would that have been a great play? No, of course not. Players aren't taught to bat the ball up in the air. Fortunately, his own guy caught the ball, and so it was considered a great play. But it was kind of, you know, it's what he could do, so he could have blocked the ball down, and it would have been safer as far as education. You know, most of the guys come out as illiterate as George W. Bush, so maybe it is surprising that he would be hailed for his...
All right, we're going to hold that right there. We're going to hold that call right there. Thank you very much. It's free speech radio, but it's not racist radio. So, no, the football players are not coming out illiterate. In case you don't know, these are all coming out of colleges. So they may be in easy programs. They may be in even rocks for jocks. But to say that, well, anyway, I don't even want to repeat what you said. I'm sorry. You got a chance to say what you had to say, but I had a chance to end the conversation. Next caller. Hey, Gary, what's up with you? Okay, Mark. Mark, you're on the line. Mark, are you still there? This is Eric Mann on KPFK. Are you listening, Mark? Ethan, yeah, I think you're going to get the last word. I don't know what your word is, but I'm really looking forward to hearing it.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Ethan.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you for taking my call. I was just going to comment on the Richard Sherman thing,
please.
If that's okay.
Yeah.
I just kind of think that the whole, well, first let me preface, I'm from St. Louis, so both of those teams are in my division, so
right.
I was against both of them in the first place, but that's neither here nor there. But I just really think the whole thing is getting blown way out of proportion, in my opinion, because I think that if she would have interviewed him 5 minutes later, I think he wouldn't have, you know, said that, but he's coming off, you know, that it was the last play of the game, and I mean, it literally just happened. So, you know, I mean, there's a, you know, the amount of adrenaline and everything that's going on, you know, going through the mind. I mean, that's just, I think she kind of planned to do that in the first place. She just wasn't expecting that response, which I don't, I mean.
Yeah, and I think to end, and thank you for calling, is that, you know, there was a very good, I don't know if it was Tom Verducci or who in the Sports Illustrated said a good point, which is these players are revved up, leaving aside any, the hormones going on, what it takes to throw their body in front of each other. And he was the first one who was real. And he said what everybody else is thinking. So thanks, Richard Sherman. Thanks for our listeners. thanks for provoking me to write this essay, which was a lot more fun than some of the other things I do. And I really want to thank everybody on KPFK for what a wonderful station we have. So thank you so much for being with us. I'll see you next Tuesday at 4. This is Eric Mann saying, all power to the people.